Welcome to the Dynasty Command Center podcast. This is the first episode of the year 2020. I'm your host, Curtis Patrick, and I'm joined by Travis May. This podcast today is being brought to you by Untuck It, the original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. We're going to talk about our top 24 players for Dynasty Startup Draft in 2020 and how we value the very tippy top of rookies in this class.
Should be a lot of fun. I can't really wait to get into all the rookie stuff, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, for the next 4 months or so. But it's good to just talk about the top names, and we'll dive into it. But I think this year, well, every year, it's just the time of year where it's hard to really gauge, you know, values on these top dynasty assets, the best players in the game. And I think there's really a lot of disagreement when we get into, well, how do you value a Juju Smith-Schuster who just kind of had a down season versus a Chris Godwin who just exploded? Even guys that are still arcing upward like DJ Moore. And then what does it look like to rank Derrick Henry right now? I mean, he's just been on fire. So I think getting into that and seeing where we, looking ahead beyond just right now in the playoffs and all the hype surrounding the players like the Derrick Henrys, like the Aaron Jones, is just really help you guys, hopefully, sift through those top tiers so that you can find some value in trades and really just value if you guys are having startup drafts early. Because I know every year I almost get roped into a draft in January, which not super a fan of at all. But have you ever done one like that, Curtis, where it's like January draft and people are, you know, trying to convince you to just go blind without any knowledge of the rookies and all that?
Yeah, actually, my favorite dynasty league that I play in to this day, we did our startup in December. I think it was actually after week 15 after week 16 or something. And we still draft the rookies before the NFL draft in that league.
Right.
It's not a Devy league.
Yeah.
But right. We do draft the rookies before the NFL draft. I think it's a great exercise. And, I always feel very prepared because, in our time working together, whether it was at DLF back in the day or, most recently with DCC and now, of course, with RotoViz, I mean, we're always on these rookies early. You know, you're on these guys as Devy assets basically from the time, they entered the college arena. And so I always feel really prepared. And I love doing startups at this time of year because I think knowing how to value the rookie picks in a class, not just what order are these players in for a dedicated rookie draft, but knowing how to value these picks as opposed to established dynasty assets, players that are already in the NFL, there's so much leverage in that. You know, a friend of the podcast, Brian Malone, talked about this so much, and I learned a lot from him over the years that, really, it doesn't matter what the format is, what year it is, people always undervalue rookie picks, especially if there's no player name attached to it, but they undervalue those rookie picks in a startup draft where they can be selected. And so, Travis, what we're going to try to do today, we're going to spend the first half of the episode. We're going to run down my recently updated top 24 for 2020 startups. This will speak to your concern about making sure people understand where we see, these blue chip values and the guys that are in the league. But I'm going to slot in how I would value these rookie picks within the top 24. How many of these rookie picks would I actually value in the first two rounds of a startup? And then in the second half of the episode, we're going to run your top 24, same exercise with your rookie picks. And I think we'll have a real full picture of, how many players are we actually agreeing on in the top 24? And, are we viewing and valuing, these rookie picks in 2020, appropriately? And so I'm just going to go ahead and kick it off. I mean, my 101 probably shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who's not brand new to fantasy football as of listening to this podcast, but it is Christian McCaffrey. Yes, he is a little older than Saquon Barkley, but I don't think that CMC is slowing down anytime soon. I think we can expect elite production for probably two more years before we worry about some fall off. And even then, the type of player he is with all the receiving work, I think he's the type of guy that can have an extended career even after some of that backfield carry share were to tail off. And just, you know, the reason that he's above Saquon, you know, I'm assuming some order of CMC and Saquon, that's got to be almost a consensus top two.
Yeah.
And we'll see what you've got to say when you get your chance. But I mean, CMC, he was a top 12 fantasy producer in all but two games in 2019. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous production he had. And all of his games where he was a fantasy RB1, he actually scored more than 21.7 PPR. In 14 so games. Yeah, it really is so nasty. And I'm just going to move on because I don't think we need to justify that ranking anymore. But I will say I have Christian McCaffrey in a tier unto himself. You know, he's a slight tier above my next two players. And it's just because, I mean, the degree by which he lapped the field in production this year, if you were going to move him, you have to get, you know, three Kings ransoms to move him. And I think that, you know, he's separated himself in that way. So my next little tier is Saquon Barkley and Michael Thomas, two young players who can continue to produce for a number of years. Michael Thomas answered the question, can he produce without Drew Brees? I think that was the biggest thing, you know, maybe holding him down from being an across the board overall wide receiver one entering the season. Of course, he played, I think it was five games off the top of my head, with Teddy Bridgewater this season. Actually did not really skip a beat whatsoever. Just continued to produce. And when you're a route runner like he is, and just a complete technician, I mean, he's basically uncoverable. He's a volume receiver. He also stacks up the yards, had plenty of touchdowns this season to really boost that score as well. Saquon, you know, I think Saquon, had I seen more efficiency and scoring in the red zone this year, and if that production would have come with it, he probably could have put himself in that high tier with McCaffrey. We probably could have made some excuses for him, you know, with the poor coaching and, you know, with the quarterback transition and all that. But again, you know, McCaffrey didn't suffer through a Kyle Allen season, and so, you know, I think that's some justification for Saquon being at two and three there. You know, anything that you'd want to chime in without giving your own ranks away on Saquon or MT?
No, I think the top players like that, I mean, even though there's a tier break there for you, I'm sure it's not this monumental gap either. That's not really always the player that you're trying to necessarily upgrade on. Like that's the absolute cornerstone of your roster. And so in many cases, you're not necessarily trying to move all those guys, but if you understand that they're probably in a tier of their own or in that range, that you're probably just going to have to play just pray that the owner lets you, like you said, get him for three Kings ransoms, because it's going to be hard to get any of those guys. But yeah, when you look at just the game by game efficiency for Christian McCaffrey compared to, you know, the entirety of the NFL, it's just absurd. I mean, he averaged like what, eight more points per game in PPR than any other running back in the field. It's just, you could just basically give him a free touchdown every single week. So that's just kind of nasty. So I can't wait to see him continue to dominate. I really hope he does. Just stays healthy. This is probably going to be old news by the time you know, this actually gets out, but Luke Kuechly, it looks like he's actually retiring. So it's just, you know, you never really know if somebody's going to be able to stay healthy. And with running backs, there's always a worry that somebody can't stay healthy. I mean, with Kuechly, he's had all the concussions and everything. And so it's a bit understandable that he would retire kind of early. But let's just hope and pray that both these guys stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right. Well, okay. So I got my first two tiers. I got CMC, Barkley, and Thomas. My next tier is a lot bigger. This is a value spot in the first round of drafts. I think you're getting elite players who have league winning upside in any of the next couple of seasons. Some slight question marks about each one, you know, as compared maybe to the three in front of them, or maybe there's just an age tiebreaker that I've built in there. But we've got DeAndre Hopkins at four and Devontae Adams five, followed by Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, and Tyreek Hill. You know, I think all these guys, I'm very, very happy to build a team around any of them. Probably myself would be shying away from the backs in this range in favor of one of the wide receivers. If I can't get myself into the very early spot of a dynasty startup and get the CMC or Barkley pick, you know, I might favor one of these receivers and then try to stack up a couple running backs or rookie picks. And I'll review that, you know, a little bit further down. In the next tier, I've got at number 10 overall and wide receiver 5 for me. That's my man, DJ Moore. Had the breakout that, you know, so many were projecting, myself included. You know, he actually kept the 3-10 rule cohort perfect. The age 21 wide receivers breaking out with a 200 point season. He did that easily, and he actually will increase the percentage of these receivers who went on to be wide receiver ones in their age 22 season, in their second season. So can't wait to update that article and that research. But DJ at the top of this tier, followed by Juju. You mentioned him, you know, earlier. George Kittle at 12. I really do feel like the age difference between he and Kelsey puts Kittle in kind of a spot where, you know, maybe where we were valuing Rob Gronkowski about 3 or 4 years ago, where he was just such an elite difference. Kelsey, I think, can continue to produce for another couple of years. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy, I think, will turn 32 next season. You know, Kittle's got a number of years on him there and looks to really be the focal point of the 49ers offense. And then I've got Nick Chubb, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans in this tier. So we're about 15 deep. This is another big tier. Anything you'd want to draw attention to there? Anything you disagree with, or we'll find in a different tier for you later?
No, I think it's just a lot of people are going to struggle having George Kittle. You have him at 12 and having a tight end that early. I think without it being necessarily tight end premium league, I think a lot of people that don't really play in those formats might be a little confused by that. But if you're trying to build a centerpiece and just have a major positional advantage, I get that. But especially in tight end premium, that's where I would probably have Kittle in that range, especially when he has 4 or 5 years more potentially than Travis Kelce has left in the tank. But I mean, you can't argue though, at the same time, like Travis Kelce, if you can get him around or round and a half later, that's a ridiculous value still, because he's been what, tight end one for 4 years. So that's okay.
Yeah,
but let's hope and let's possibly believe that that's going to be Kittle. And I think if you're ranking him here, I think that's your expectation, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to rack up plenty of tight end one and tight end two overall seasons over the next handful of years. And I love that he does it not just on volume of receptions, but he's a guy that stacks up the yardage. And we know that is stickier year over year. I feel a little safer with him than, you know, a guy that we hesitated to move up our ranks over the past several years was a guy like Zach Ertz, who more reliant on the actual receptions maybe than the yards that were going with him there. Well, the next tier is where things really get interesting in startups. And before we talk about that tier, want to throw it back to a word from our sponsors. Have you ever seen an untucked button down? They look bad. And why? It's because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Well, thankfully, there's Untuck It. It's the original button down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. Doesn't matter your shape or your size, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. And Travis, you were telling me, you know, as a Nashvillian, you see this all over the music industry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically just part of the uniform here in town. Whether you're trying to fit in down to Broadway with your untucked flannel, or you're working on Music Row and publishing like me, I mean, it's just an untucked shirt with maybe with a jacket, maybe with a hipster looking shoe, whatever your style is, an untucked shirt is just basically what Nashville is.
Well, there's definitely nothing wrong kind of with that rock star vibe, but even if that's not you, you know, Untuck It's got a wide variety available. They've got wrinkle-free button-down shirts. They've got super soft flannels. I like the big red and black buffalo check flannel. That's like one of my staple looks.
Absolutely.
My better half always loves that look on me as well, so I keep going back to it. They've also got outerwear and more. With Untuck It, your shirts are never going to look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big ever again. And their website's super easy to use. They've even got a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, UNTUCKIT, it's the way to go. Visit UNTUCKIT.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCKIT.com, UNTUCKIT.com, and promo code BLUE, that's BLUE, for 20% at checkoff. Okay, well, Mike Evans was my 15th ranked player for Dynasty Startups in 2020. Number 16, that's where I've got my rookie 101 valued, Travis, and I've got rookie 102 there as well. I'm going to say the names of the players just to for illustration purposes, but what the more important takeaway here is that we're valuing these picks more highly than we did in 2019 startups. You know, that class, you know, I think people, you know, famously were fading for a lot of reasons. We liked some of those players, and we still believe in some of those players, but neither of us even had the rookie 101 in our top 30 last year in the initial rankings. I've got my 101 and my 102 both inside the top 17. My 101 currently is Jonathan Taylor with DeAndre Swift at 102. We're not here to debate that right now. It just speaks to the quality of prospect that I think each of those guys are, and for slightly different reasons than each other as well. The other two guys I've got in this tier are also backs. Leonard Fournette, who totally unlocked his ceiling by adding all that receiving work this year and staying healthy, especially relative to his seasons earlier in his career. And then the beast, man, Derrick Henry. Have always loved this guy, have encouraged Dynasty Command Center users aggressively to buy him before the 2018 season and then again before the 2019 season. A lot of titles won by our guys who had him available for their playoffs. You know, some people might have some problems with 19 even maybe being low, which is crazy to think about when you talk about Derrick Henry, because it took the community so long to warm up to him. But I just have questions about him being able to duplicate this type of production next season when we still haven't seen that receiving upside unlocked. I think he can do it. So it's not a question of whether he can do it. It's just the team still hasn't given that to him, even though they lean on him so heavily. And, you know, I just don't know that another 400 touch season next year, which is probably where he ends up this year when the playoffs are all said and done, if he has another touch share like that, another workload like that, and it doesn't include more receiving yards and receptions, I'm going to have questions about his upside. I'm sure you're going to have plenty to say about Henry when you get your chance to run your top 24. I'm going to go ahead and finish mine off because I'm almost done here.
Man. You got
it. And then I want to throw it back over to you. So, and my final tier, so this would be tier 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, tier 6. So the sixth tier in the top 24, that starts with rookie 103, followed by Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, Joe Mixon, and the rookie 104. And again, you know, tiers, you can mix and match these guys, and I probably wouldn't, you know, have a strong argument. I'm valuing these people similarly, not moving them, you know, and straight up trades for one another. And so if you wanted to have the rookie picks down at the bottom of your top 24, fine with me. You know, if you love Joe Mixon and say, how can you have him below your rookie 103? You know, like I'm not going to waste breath in an argument with you on that. But yeah, those are those guys. And the one that I'll draw attention to here just a little bit to highlight, you know, using the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer is Cooper Kupp. And Travis, one of our podcasts we did before the end of the season, we both had Cooper Kupp as a fringe dynasty wide receiver one at that time. And what he ended up doing at the end of the year was he finished his PPR wide receiver four. For the season, he threw up 270 PPR. He was 10th in expected points. So he had wide receiver one role, but he actually outperformed expectation, 44 points, PPR points over expectation. He has had at least 26 fantasy points over expectation all three seasons of his career, which is even crazier to think about when considering that in 2018, he only played half a season. And in half a season, he threw up 35.8 fantasy points over expectation. And if you actually look at the half year he played in 2018 and the full year he played in 2019, he's paced at the same degree of production really since the beginning of 2018. He threw up 135 PPR in half a year in 2018, 270 this year. That math works out pretty well. You can, you know, that's math my son, second grade, can do. Top 24 weeks, he had 5 in 2018 out of 8 games, 7 this year. Top 12 weeks, 3 last year, 5 this year. I tweeted out a pick on my timeline at CPatrickNFL comparing and contrasting Cooper Kupp to Odell Beckham Jr. and asking people to argue, you know, who's the better dynasty investment at this point. It's crazy to think about maybe a year, year and a half ago having that argument. But at this point in time, Cooper Kupp's been a better fantasy player for the last two seasons, you know, when healthy, and he's younger. And he's the one that hasn't changed teams, still playing for the same coach, you know, came into the league for, same quarterback he came into the league for. I think it's a fair argument. You know, I think probably plenty of people disagree with me, but I feel pretty justified in having Cooper Kupp as a back end wide receiver one in dynasty at age 26. I think he's going to slide in there and be, you know, and I'm not saying it because the guy is white, but it's, you know, this type of receiver, this high volume, chain moving receiver with touchdown upside. I mean, Julian Edelman and Wes Welker before him, it's this type of player that can really excel, and but I don't think ever really finds the appropriate dynasty value. And I'm just, you know, maybe trying to, by putting him higher up in this tier instead of at 24, putting him at 21, maybe proving my point and how much I believe in him as an investment. So there you have it. Just in summary, I've got four rookies or four rookie picks, however you want to look at this, in my top 24. So Travis, let's hear what you've got.
Yeah, so my top tier, I already kind of talked about this earlier, but Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley are alone up there for me at the top two. I've got a slight drop-off there, and then Dalvin Cook and Michael Thomas make up my tier two. And Michael Thomas, I can't remember what the stat was when you were comparing, I think, him with and without Drew Brees this year. I think you were talking about how there's really not a massive difference between his production with or without Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Keep talking for a second. I'll pull that up in the Game Splits app.
Yeah,
we'll come back to it.
Like, and even if there is some kind of major drop off for Michael Thomas, like, he averaged about 5 more points per game than any other wide receiver. And outside of that, I mean, it was Chris Godwin. And then there was another point or 2 point gap getting to the next wide receiver three in terms of points per game. So Michael Thomas, he could drop off almost a touchdown and he would still be right smack dab in the middle of the wide receiver one conversation. So I mean, no one has done what he's done as far as receptions go. And I think he's a quarterback's friend. I don't think he's limited to just success with only Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think he's a lot more than a quarterback's friend. I mean, he's like, quarterback sees Michael Thomas. I mean, it's pants off season.
that's probably way more accurate.
But I pulled this up, these numbers using the RotoViz Game Splits app. It's one of our, I mean, I tweeted this out earlier today, Travis. We have 29 NFL tools on the site now. 29.
Right. 29 this
is
tools.
Yeah, no big deal. This is one of the best. It's easy to use. The graphic cards that spit out are amazing. But I just entered in Michael Thomas. I entered in a few statistical measures I wanted to see, you know, PPR points, receptions, touchdowns, targets, yards. And then you can split production over any time period by players who also played or did not play. And so I'm going to get a split for Michael Thomas in the 2019 season, with and without Drew Brees. So, okay, I'm going to tell you what he scored with Drew Brees, and then I want you to guess what he scored without him, okay? So he played 11 games with Drew Brees, and he averaged 23.59 PPR with Drew Brees. That's a 377 PPR pace. So what do you think he averaged in the 5 Teddy Bridgewater games?
20. You know,
23. He was 23.59 with Brees, and he's 23.02 with Teddy B. There was not an appreciable difference in touchdown production. It's not like that was artificially propped up. You know, you average 0.55 TDs a game with Breeze, 0.6 with Bridgewater, negligible difference. Actually, a few fewer targets, a target and a half fewer with Teddy, but he had about four more yards per game with Teddy. Paced for 1,700 yards with either quarterback. I think that's what's truly remarkable. And so, you know, we're gushing about Thomas, kind of gushing about the Game Splits app here too. Great for this type of exercise. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's why Thomas deserves to be the undisputed wide receiver one in Dynasty. Glad to see we agree on that.
Yeah, and I think it's just, there's not a whole lot to talk about besides that with him. I think he's just kind of in his own tier for now, even with Drew Brees departing. And really, Drew Brees has not necessarily been the Drew Brees that we've, you know, known as the Hall of Famer in recent, at least the past couple of years, in terms of him pushing it downfield and things like that. So I'm not worried about it. And clearly, it sounds like we shouldn't, neither of us should really be too worried about it. But my next tier, I've got three more wide receivers. I've got DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, and Tyreek Hill. Not too crazy to put all of them up there. Obviously, Tyreek Hill feels like the forgotten man just because of how his season went to begin. And then again, it felt like it was just interrupted. And it felt like he was kind of recovering. But he had that five-week stretch where he had at least 14.1 PPR fantasy points every single week. He was wide receiver one, three out of the 5 weeks where he was healthy before he kind of was gone again. So really excited to see him come back and just do his thing as a wide receiver one consistently for a long time. We're really quick to forget when players don't absolutely just ball out constantly for 17 weeks in a row, just how amazing he can be. He's still a top tier wide receiver. I haven't seen many people talk about him that much, but I'm not worried at all about his dynasty value. And then I've got another tier break there, tier four here. I've got Alvin Kamara, whatever you want to say. Ezekiel Elliott, we got Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and I'm still keeping Juju Smith-Schuster up there. Obviously, I'm just going to kind of, you got to kind of have to almost write off this year just based on how this went for the Steelers and Juju as a whole, you know, missing weeks, having to deal with bad quarterback play, inconsistent quarterback play. And given what we've seen him do already, I mean, he's already got a 300 fantasy point season under his belt, and I think he's still got to be 15 years old. He's like super young, so I think he's he's got some years ahead of him, so I'm not really worried at all. I think people just overreact to that one downish year and forget that they're going to bounce right back. I mean, I think about DeAndre Hopkins just from a few years back, but you know, when he was dealing with bad quarterbacks, he kind of was falling down the dynasty ranks, and now he's top five for at least top eight for everybody again. And I think that's exactly where Juju could find himself again in the wide receiver one overall conversation once he gets any amount of decent quarterback play. And then after that, I've got DJ Moore heading up tier five, almost put him up in one more tier, but he hasn't quite broken through the glass ceiling, I guess, with what I think is his potential. But I'm also kind of worried that he doesn't necessarily hit that if there's questions at the quarterback position, if they shift any amount of targets anymore to Curtis Samuel. But I mean, when you look at his target load, And really his fantasy points in terms of what's expected, he still has a lot of room to grow. Like, he was 78th this season at the position in fantasy points over expectation. And that's just because he never really found the end zone. I mean, he's got two incredible seasons under his belts already, but he just can't find the end zone. I mean, he had 135 targets and only scored four times. Like, that's not normal. So if he does find any positive healthy touchdown regression in his favor, I like him to jump up into the next tier this year. Because if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know I do love him quite a bit. But a name after him that's probably going to confuse people maybe is Aaron Jones. I have him at 14th overall. And I think we just take forever to adjust to what we've seen a player do in many cases. Because, I mean, we see, oh, he's that mid to late round pick. Oh, he's just going to get replaced in the next draft. And there's always Jamal Williams or whatever. But it didn't really matter this year. The guy had like 320 fantasy points. He had 7 running back one weeks. He had 11 top 24 weeks. I mean, he was just basically top 10 in just about every statistic that you want to see. And really only had a few down weeks whatsoever. And so at this point, I mean, he finished as what the running back 2 or 3, depending on your format, like overall. And so there's really nothing to dislike with Aaron Jones. If he keeps that job, there's no way he's not a running back 1 again. But after that, it enters a tier of guys that, at least the stigma is that they weren't always receiving backs, and Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Leonard Fournette, who just so happened to have like 100 targets this year and disprove everybody that didn't think he was really a pass catching back. And then I do have the running back 1, or I should say rookie 1.01 pick, the first overall pick. And it's going to be a running back, most likely. Whatever running back this year lands in the primo spot, that's going to be the first pick to go. And really, if it's in a really good spot, that running back 1, you know, that 1.01 could fly higher. But I think that we're going to see a tier of 3 running backs that probably are pretty close to each other. But obviously, I put running back. I keep saying running back 1, pick 1 in a tier above the other 2 rookie picks I have in my top 24 right now, just because every single year there's that one player that seems to have just a little bit better opportunity. And maybe they separate themselves just a hair at the combine, just a hair throughout the process over the second and third. And really, it takes a little bit more to trade up into that first spot. So just value-wise, I felt like it needed to be in its own tier. But after that, my final tier, ending up the top 24, I've got rookie pick 2, rookie pick 3. And just I think we're on the same page, Curtis, but I've got DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor and Travis Etienne with these 1, 2, 3 backs that are probably going to go be drafted pretty highly and most likely. I mean, we're going to break these guys down for a long time here, but is that's your top 3 as well, right?
It is, but you kind of note I have like a little miniature tier break. You have a tier break with your 101 versus your 102 and 103. I've kind of grouped my 103 and 104 together. I don't know that I've made my mind up on ETN, and my 4 right now is J.K. Dobbins. And I kind of want to see, I'd like to see what some people that are a little bit more film oriented have to say, and maybe some game charters, some things like that. I know you get into to that as the process goes on. I mean, I'm really somebody that I chase draft pedigree. I chase what we know age and athleticism can do for us. You know, we have a pair of great regression trees for trying to use our draft picks on running backs in the wisest way possible based on years of research here at RotoViz. And so, you know, that largely informs my process. But yeah, I could flip them right now. You know, I do have ETN 103 just like you. But you know, I think that could change, and I don't know it's not like a bleeding heart thing.
Yeah.
For me. And we actually, as of recording this podcast, ETN hasn't declared unless he has like in the last 30 minutes while we've been talking.
Yeah.
So that could certainly change things. If we want to play hypotheticals, if he didn't declare, you know, you said Dobbins is your 4, would him being the 103, would he still be in that top 24? Would the dynamic cause you to value Dobbins more highly? Or
I think it would, just because I think his implied draft capital for me, best guess at his draft capital would be higher. I think that he would slot into one of those better opportunities that I might have projected ETN for. So I think I wouldn't add in an extra rookie pick or take that out and keep Dobbins where he is. I think I'd just slot him up ahead of the guys that round out my tier with Joe Mixon, George Kittle, Josh Jacobs, AJ Brown.
Okay. Well, let's kind of sum this up with some huge takeaways in the top 24, rookie related and unrookie and non-rookie related, because we're really in sync here. So the first thing I'll say is, you know, we both got six tiers in our top 24, which I think is really interesting. The next thing that I would say is that we largely agree on these players. I think we only differ on three of the top 24, because I think I've got my rookie 104 in. You don't.
Yeah.
You've got you've basically got Josh Jacobs there instead of the rookie 104. That's swap number one, kind of, that we've got. You've got Aaron Jones in. I do not. I have Cooper Kupp in.
Yeah. And he's kind of just on the outside looking in for me there.
Yeah. And I think those are the only differences. I'm double checking. We've got our...
Yeah, the order's quite a bit different, but, you know, it's not too far off.
Yeah, the order's a little different, but really the tier breaks aren't dramatically different. You know, I think, you know, basically if you stood in and did a startup draft for me, I mean, I'd be fine using your big board. If we crossed Aaron Jones' name off, we're not quite on the same page there. I'd like him more maybe in like the late third, which means I probably wouldn't get him anywhere. I think I'm probably on the lower end on Aaron Jones, but I mean, I'd be really comfortable using your board. I mean, we're pretty much in sync here, is my takeaway. And so the names that I want to draw attention to really in tier six that I think people can potentially leverage, even though it's with a little bit of reservation, we both have AJ Brown as a round two startup pick.
Yeah.
Number one.
Even before I even got to my segment where I was going to talk through, I was like, I'm going to sub somebody else in. I can't do it. Like, I'm a Titans fan. Like, I just know too much about the Titans just ruining wide receivers. But for now,
we'll see. I mean, he certainly flashed plenty. Just looked like an absolute beast. Maybe some shades of Andre Johnson, kind of what he reminded me of this year. Yeah. Just an absolute freak. And another player that I think there are very mixed reviews on now. And for people who lost their league because of how bad he was at the beginning of the year, he may be a guy that's available. But we both still have Joe Mixon as a round two startup. I've actually got him at 23. You've got him at 21 overall. And I want to draw attention to how strong, just a couple quick things here as we close. So Joe Mixon from week eight on, so his final nine games, he was running back eight in PPR points per game, averaged 18 points a game. And there was really not much difference between him and like the RB3 over the time period. Basically, over the last half of the season, McCaffrey continued to slay. Henry came on. They were both, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else. But Kenyon Drake was how crazy is that? Kenyon Drake was RB3 over the last half of the season, and he had 19 and change. You know, so we're basically, you know, Mixon was performing in a tier, you know, with the best backs in fantasy over the last half of the year, even with, you know, the bad O-line and Cincy, and even with the upheaval at the quarterback position, and even with all the wide receiver injuries that they had. And so if you're excited about the prospects of, you know, maybe the team re-signing AJ Green and maybe John Ross being healthy and the team adding Joe Burrow to the mix, and maybe Zach Taylor can be more creative with all these assets, I mean, Mixon could be a player due for, you know, kind of a massive rebound next season. We know how good he is in the receiving game, multi-talented back. So Travis and I both still believing in him, kind of valuing him right in there with the top tier of rookies who are available this year. I'm going to kick it to you for any closing words on our top 24s, man. And just looking forward. Oh, last thing I'll say, we're going to be doing two episodes most weeks, two episodes of the Dynasty Command Center podcast. Most weeks, we're going to commit to that shorter time frame. I think we'll close in under 40 minutes on this episode. We're going to stay right in that wheelhouse moving forward. Tuesday and Thursday drops typically cut up a lot of rookies, talk a lot of startups. We are just champing at the bit, ready to go for 2020.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to add. I'm just pumped about it just because there's so much to talk about with this rookie class. And obviously, there's still a few names that are hanging out there. We really need to hear. Really, really high hope some of these guys just choose to come out because we just lost Chuba Hubbard and a couple other guys that chose to stay that I'd love to see out in this class. But it's going to be a fun spring for sure. Can't wait to dive into more of it.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks again for joining both of us again this week. This is going to be the best dynasty year of your careers, our careers, and we're going to do it together. You can find me on Twitter at CPatrickNFL, joined by Travis May. He's at FF_TravisM. Thanks again for joining us on the Dynasty Command Center podcast.
And until next time, keep living that dynasty life.